Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 505. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm drinking Minecraft beer. Yeah.
How Minecraft is that? Beer.
It's very good, actually.
I think you posted it in the group chat. It's an IPA, right?
It's a hazy IPA. Okay. It's very, very hazy.
Earl is here.
Howdy. I got nothing to say this week. It's been a quiet week for video games.
So quiet.
Jeff is here as well.
Hello.
Everybody's muted. Like,
yay! We're so excited to be here. Oh my god.
Tony's like, I got a Minecraft beer. And I was like, well, we don't.
I was going to say something, but I forgot what.
So the Xbox showcase, whatever the hell that was, this has been a weird E3. And evidently it's not over, because Sony has another showcase coming. Microsoft promised another showcase. Ubisoft promised another showcase. I'm tired of showcases. But
it's a lot of showcase. I want actual games. Can we get games?
Yeah, that would be nice.
I said it on Twitter, and we said it on the show before. The idea of E3 asked in almost 2 months is so exciting on paper. And then it happened.
Tiring.
You're just exhausted because everything is just so scattered, and very few of these events. Like, honestly speaking, how many of these events do you folks actually remember?
None. Like the Microsoft event, I remember because it just happened 10 hours ago.
The Microsoft one I remember, and the Sony one, and
bits of the Sony one for me. Like, I remember.
Yeah, like if you asked me what games were announced, I probably couldn't tell you.
Right.
Yeah, there's nothing else to that story. If you asked me what games were announced, I couldn't tell.
Yeah, E3 always kind of sucked, and now it's kind of like they're taking the suck and spreading it out, but it still suck. No matter how thin you spread it.
Yeah, it was like a fun suck before, though. It was like everything happened all at once and everyone is excited, and we didn't remember anything a week later.
Right.
But it was fun.
It would be a blur. Like, even that day, you'd be like, I saw like 300 games. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what I saw this morning, but it was awesome. I swear.
I think maybe it was. Yeah. Yeah.
It probably wasn't. But yes, this has been dragging on and on, and Microsoft thoughts, they were the last, I guess Nintendo really hasn't gone.
I mean, at this point, I'm going to have to say they've gone. I mean, they've had 3 chances now, I think.
Yeah. Just they haven't really shown like their fall lineup, which is weird.
Yeah, it's super weird, but I mean... Yeah, if we want to start there, like the Microsoft thing happened this week, but Nintendo had what they called a Nintendo Direct Mini Partners Showcase, which was like a new branding for them, and people had no idea what to anticipate. Like you said, we've not heard from Nintendo at all this year. We've not heard from them in a while. I mean, I think really the last big thing they announced was Paper Mario, which came out on Friday, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And so everybody's like, okay, they have no more games slated for this year as far as release dates go. This would be a good opportunity for them to announce something for either, for the fall or for September or anytime soon.
Yeah, but like the carefully worded, like they made sure that you were not expecting that. I wasn't.
Right, right. Like, no, I wasn't either, but it would have been like,
it would be cool to announce something.
The right time.
But like also, just what they said, I was like, maybe being out of 3, they'll like finally, give a date and like have an awesome trailer. But it was like, I don't know. I didn't watch the goddamn thing, but I didn't like, nothing I heard was like, oh, I should watch that.
No, it was, I will go to bat for them as often as I can. But yeah, like you watched it and it's like, okay, like it was WWE Battlegrounds, which we've seen several times now. It was crap. I mean, the big announcements was the Shin Megami Tensei remake and Shin Megami 10. I mean, five, wow, a release date for next early next year. I don't remember what to put it off with.
Was it Cadence of Hyrule DLC?
Yes, Cadence of Hyrule DLC, which I guess is your Zelda game for this year. And then there was another game in between there that wasn't that important. But yeah, that was essentially, it was like, I mean, I will give them this credit. They did not waste my time. It was 8 minutes. It was a YouTube video you could just kind of power through. And that was it.
Yeah.
Like, all right, they got to have, like, something they're planning. Like, you got to think about it. Like, at some point, they thought E3 was happening, and they probably were working on, like, this is the games we're going to show off. And, like, this couldn't have been it, right? Like, the shit that we've seen, like, that's all we've seen so far is this, right? Like,
yeah.
So,
like, we don't know outside of like that 8 minute thing. We don't know what's coming.
There's got to be a real direct coming. I'm sorry. There's got to be, right?
Like, we'll get to in a bit with Microsoft as well. We've had this discussion with Sony. There are games announced. There are like, we know Pokemon Snap. We know Pokemon Unite. You know, the Bayonetta's out there. No More Heroes 3's out there. So there's a lot of this game's announced. There's no release dates attached to anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, it seems like the other companies are getting games out, though. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like you just be like, oh, we had COVID this year, and so there's not gonna. I think there's got to be like a big Nintendo game.
Yeah, I mean, there might be, but like, right? I mean, like, COVID is a. I mean, it. I mean, we've talked about it several times now, but you also have to write going on for like 4 months now. So like, even if you like, you might have had games, this would have been the crunch to the end times, and people probably really have not been able to account for how much damage that will do to their games, their lineup for the year. And I think Nintendo's just being very precautious and not wanting to announce something and then come back 2 weeks later. That's what happened to Last of Us, where it's like, okay, this game is dead indefinitely. Oh no, what does that mean? Oh, don't worry about it. It's only going to be there 2 weeks. It seems like that was a positive, but like to come back and be like, okay, this game is now 2021.
Yeah. I agree. I think I agree with you, but like also it's like the clock is ticking at some point to say, like, like it's we're almost in September, or, you know, we're at August clicking, now. Like,
it's clicking on all of these companies. Like, and we got into this in our private chat a little bit, but it's we're three and a half months from the new consoles releasing, and I don't think either one has made a pitch for why you need their machine.
Like, well, I'm not saying don't. That's kind of the
I will get them, but like they haven't made a pitch like you need this because of this. Why are we moving to the next gen? Like, we just got, you know, The Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, and like those games look beautiful. And they, you know, they play well. Nothing we've seen seems to play any differently. And yeah, they look pretty, but do they look that much prettier?
Do they look that much prettier?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
but it's one of those things, and it's kind of we get. No, we said this at the start of the year. It's a very thin year because we all expected everybody's like, okay, everybody's going to do their big consoles this year, and that's still what we're getting. But even now, like with the launch lineups of these consoles kind of becoming more crystallized, don't seem to have a better idea of what to expect.
Right. Which I guess that brings us to the Xbox showcase that happened today.
Xbox.
Yeah. They showed off Halo. That's a game that exists.
Looked like Halo.
Yeah, looks like Halo.
Yeah. I don't know what I expected. Like, part of me is like, okay, it's like Halo because that's what it's supposed to be. But I'm also like, you took 5 years off. I kind of expected something different.
Or just, I don't know, like... To me, it's also like that launches with the Xbox Series X, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes,
it's like I expect to be kind of wowed by how it looks. Like, even though it's Halo, it's like you know, Halo's done that for me before. I think like Halo 4, I was like, oh man, this looks really good. You know, like, and this, like, to me, it just looked like, if you told me that was Halo 5, like someone playing Halo 5, I would have believed you. Like, it didn't look any different to me.
Yeah, I would have believed them too.
Some of the stuff they said about it was more.
Yeah, like the way it's going to change how kind of we perceive Halo.
Right.
I don't buy any of that shit, though. Like,
well, it's, like, it's an
open world game.
Yeah, but it seems like part of that is also it might be a game that's surface.
I've heard different things. So, like, it's the last one for the foreseeable future. Like, they are just going to continue to.
Everyone is. Halo 5 was the last one for fucking the foreseeable.
I don't think so, because 4 and 5 were intended to. They were always supposed to be a part of a new trilogy.
And the way 5 ends, like, it's like. Leaves it open.
It's a cliffhanger. Yeah. There's something needs to be finished there.
Yeah, 4 and 5, I feel like never. And yeah. But I feel like they're going to model this after what Destiny's going to do, which is now you'll buy Halo and they'll have like new story content come out every so often.
Yeah, that's actually what they've said. Like that like for the foreseeable future, like new story bits will be released. Because if you can release that stuff in there and still keep people playing it, like, what do they need to make a new game every 3 years for?
Yeah.
Like, they're giving it away for free anyway. It's part of the service. Just make the game itself a service and continue to get people to play it.
I hear you.
In fact, there's a butt from Jeff. Oh.
No, I mean, I get what, like, because you get excited about a new game, right? Like, it's a little bit.
It's like, there's always going to be new games. Like, it's not going to be the last.
It's less exciting to get excited about, Halo's releasing like a new mission pack. Like, I guess we'll jump into that. That sounds cool, but it's not like the new Halo.
Yeah. But I mean, it you know, if you get, especially at launch, you get people to buy it, and every so often you throw them a bone to be like, it's kind of what Gears of War. I mean, I think Chris did it last week. Like, there's a new season, there's a new, I forget what they call it. Operation. And they're like, okay, I'll try that out now.
Yeah, like, I hadn't played, like, I mean, I played a ton when it came out last year, but then, like, I hadn't played in a couple months, and they were like, oh, a new operation, there's new game modes, there's, you know, new content in it. It's like, all right, I'll pop in, see what it is. And like, hey, this is really fun. And I've been playing it daily since then, but...
Yeah, so that stuff isn't bad. It's just that, like, on a fundamental level, again, I get it, but I wish if it was, like, I wanted something, and here's the thing, and I complain about this all the time. It's like, yes, it's easy to say I want a fundamental shift in Halo, but then it's like, what do you want? It's like, I don't know. But that's why I don't get paid to to answer that question. I'm a consumer. I get to ask it. You're supposed to be the one who comes up with the answer.
Well, and maybe this, you know, maybe this open world type thing, like, because my understanding is that the original pitch for Halo Infinite was, what if Halo and Skyrim together? And if that's what they deliver, that's pretty cool.
It seems, so to say, it seems like their notion of that is open world, and I feel like with Halo, like, open world is kind of antithesis to what Halo is about, as far as, like, being a shooter, where it was, like, it's always been about, like, the very defined set pieces that they've had.
We'll see.
But, like, you know, if you're going to be ambitious, you could try to do both at the same time. You know what I mean? Like,
and
you
I think
try to do that, and you know, and like, I do if you're wonder, trying to do like the next gen version of what this is,
I do wonder I if that, it, you know? If that's kind of like how this is approached, right? Like, because if you remember how, you know, how Destiny works, like, they had that open world, but and like you could do things in it, and there were mini quests and stuff to do in that open world, but then there were very specific, like scripted levels that you would play. I wonder if maybe it goes that direction.
I mean, fucking Far Cry New Dawn. Every Far Cry game that does that kind of, you know, it's an open world game, and then there's very defined missions.
Right. Like, you go to a quest giver, that quest giver sends you on a very, like, it's a very scripted mission that you then play.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm interested by it. Not as down on it as Jeff, what it looked like. Like, it gave me a Halo C vibe.
It's just looks like Halo. Like,
it's good. It just looks really weird in motion. I mean, not in motion, it's weird in screenshots.
Yeah, it looks... It's like, it looks like how you remember Halo C looking.
Yes. It looks ancient in screenshots. Like, yeah. When you actually saw the game play in motion, it looked good. It looked like, you know... It didn't look like so mind-bending that you're like, I need a new console to play this game.
No, though. And you don't. That's the weird thing about it, right? Like, we can play that game on the consoles we have right now. We don't need to buy a Series X to play it. This is weird. Jeff, did you see anything else in the event?
I forgot what they showed like right after that, but then the last thing I saw was the Rare game, I guess. Like, it was the only thing that really made me perk up about it, because like the lady introducing it at one point says she's from Rare. I'm like, oh, that's what they're up to.
They do still exist. They're real.
Everwild.
Yeah.
Looks cute.
Yeah. It's just like, there's just so many games that you always see like that all the time. You're like, I don't know. This is going to be some indie game that everyone ignores when it actually comes out. But like, when I heard it was Rare, that just made me interested just because of that. You know what I mean? But
I think there's one that you will be on. It was not in the event. It was debuted in the pre-show. Something Wonder World.
Valiant Wonder. Yeah. Is it Wonder World or Wonderland?
Wonder World.
Before the show, I guess it's the new Team Sonic game, which is interesting.
But no, not Team Sonic.
It's by the guy who created Sonic and Knights. It is not Team Sonic. It's a Square Enix game.
Okay.
But he has left Sega. I don't know when.
He had Nintendo.
But did he work at Nintendo?
I think he worked at Nintendo of America.
But yeah, this is a Square game, but it's a, you know, it's a 3D platformer. Looks right up your alley.
Cool, cool. It looked good though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Super whimsical. Yeah. Pretty neat characters.
So there's still hope that I'm going to get a new mediocre Sonic game sometime soon, hopefully.
It is so weird that we're at the point now where I'm missing a Sonic game.
I liked Sonic Forces. Like,
it's been, what, 4 years? 3-4 years?
Maybe 3 years, yeah. Maybe.
Since Mania?
Since, Mania and Sonic Forces came out the same year, I think. And I thought they were, like, Sonic Forces wasn't great, but, like, if you gave me another Sonic game on that level, I'd be fine with it. I don't apologize.
Let me pull off the game list, but Xbox showed off 22 games.
Okay, while you get up, I'm going to make one of my very, very petty and annoying things, and I said this in the chat as well. It's a first party title, or he's like, you know, a first party developers and partners. You don't need world premiere and console exclusive. Like, some of it I get because it costs on a PC, but like, nobody's going to recount it.
Well, so in the last third, like Tetris Effect and Crossfire, Warhammer, they seem to be timed exclusives. They're not first party studios. They're like third-party timed exclusives. Like Tetris Effect very much is not, like, obviously.
So, like, that's going to be a Game Pass game when that comes out, too?
Everything.
I think they did everything.
Yeah, okay, that's awesome. Because I would have totally, you guys know I've been saying this for years. Tetris Effect is going to come to Xbox, and I'm going to get it then, and now it's coming. And there's like, more shit, right?
Jeff is that person who's like, when they go to the undercover coming out on the Wii U. Right, I'm gonna get it as soon as it's ported. It gets ported 5 years later. I told you it was gonna happen.
That's right. And now all the enthusiasm is gone.
Oh. Yeah, I did buy it though on Xbox, but I have not played it. Tetris Effect Connected is not a sequel to Tetris Effect. It is Tetris Effect with multiplayer added. Like, if you remember, the original Tetris Effect did not have competitive multiplayer. It was a single player game with like challenges and stuff. This is adding the multiplayer, and that multiplayer is it is locked into Xbox for a time period.
That sounds awesome though. Like, that I would totally be playing that shit, dude. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, like
I'll play a lot of these games just because they're all free.
The one thing that is not, and this is weird because they did multiple times, they said everything they showed will be available in Game Pass or is free to play. There is a very little line in the Crossfire demo that they showed, and that trailer, that campaign that they showed by Remedy is not included in Game Pass.
That's so weird.
But they said multiplayer is free.
Crossfire is a free-to-play game. The campaign is an add-on that you get with their first premium battle pass or whatever. It's really weird, and I got really angry because, like, Adam Greenberg was on the after show. It's just like, because he kept, I mean, they said it multiple times in the Xbox showcase, and then Adam Greenberg gets on Keeley's after show, and he says it again. And then, like, somebody's like, not included in it. It's like, the game is included. It is free, but that part isn't, like, that's shady. That's the part you showed.
Did that include the Outer Worlds expansion?
Yes, that will be part of Game Pass. Yes.
Oh really? Oh, I think I just deleted that too. God damn it! Or no, I don't. No, I think I saved that one. I just cleaned up on my hard drive like the other night.
All right, so I do have the list. Go ahead, Earl.
I was going to say, I think Odd World is a point I did want to make. And because I thought it was one of the big positives. I mean, I thought the overall presentation was good. But one of the positives of Microsoft going so hard into Xbox Game Pass and this smart delivery is that they can kind of begin their launch kind of early. Where I think the Outer Worlds game is actually out in September, but it's going to be a launch title for Xbox One. Like, it's enhanced for the Xbox Series One. And right. The same with other games, where it's like, okay, so like you have a launch time. You can buy the games now and get that upgrade with the system at launch. So I thought that was a really smart way that they hammered in, like, this is something. Like, that is one of the avenues where, like, yes, they're very clearly defined as to what they're being for. Is, and it's not necessarily getting this hardware, it's becoming part of this ecosystem where you pay us money every year and get access to all of these great games.
Are they like, is it like a separate file, or is it just like the game just recognizes what you're playing it on and then it'll just like, you get what I'm saying? Is it like a separate SKU, like the Series X?
So when I bought Madden, it came with a separate. Like, you literally bought two separate games, like it was part of the package.
Yeah,
but like I think Microsoft.
That's not a Microsoft games. Title, though. So
yeah,
their Microsoft titles could be different.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's I don't know, Jeff, but from what they were saying, like when they talked about Ori, like specifically talked about like the enhancements for Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and it sounds like in the game there'll be an option. To play, yeah. Like, I want to play with the enhancements,
yeah.
Or I want to play, like, you know, I guess with other settings or whatever. So it's like going to be a toggle, it looks like, in Ori. I mean, other games might handle it differently, but
interesting.
Yeah, it is. So here are the games.
Games.
Let's see, As Dusk Falls is from a indie studio, Interior Night, which is. It is a group of developers that used to be part of Quantic Dream and part of Sony. Looks like an adventure game of some sort. I was not wowed by that. Like, the trailer was almost like still images in some spots. Seemed really weird.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was still images.
There were some things that like were animating though, so I wasn't sure what the hell was going on.
It kind of looked like a motion comic where like stuff was animating. But it wasn't like animation. It was like, it was like still images, but they'd give some movement to them.
Yes.
So I thought that looked interesting. I mean, for Game Pass games.
Yeah. And I guess Microsoft is funding that one because it said it was coming from Xbox Game Studios. So, let's see, Avowed. New Obsidian Entertainment game. Looks like The Elder Scrolls.
I did not see this, but of course I will be buying it.
It is evidently set in the world of Pillars of Eternity, which is their kind of their classic CRPG type game. But this looks more... It's first person.
Yeah.
Elder Scrolls game.
I'm assuming that's not this year.
No way. It was a CG trailer.
Great.
There's zero chance of that being this year. I think there's zero chance of that next year too. But
that is a game that, like, you know, I'll be excited to play when it comes out for sure.
Yeah. In 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Fable was announced.
That was a surprise. I was not expecting Fable.
Playground Games developed. They are the group behind Forza Horizon.
I'm super excited for that game not involving Peter Molyneux.
Yeah. It was a CG trailer, so...
It was a trailer, but it was also so... Like, it was like, it started, I'm like, wait, it's over already? And then there was a wrap-up montage.
Yeah, it was more of like a teaser trailer than anything else. I don't think we're seeing that game this year. My guess is that's a next year game.
Hopefully.
Playground has been working on it for 2 years, so I mean, maybe they need 4 for it, but I would think that Microsoft's going to want at least like 1 or 2 big games each year, and I don't know what else they have for next year. Maybe Forza Motorsport? Because that's not this year either.
The fuck is going on?
Also not Forza 8. It's just called Forza Motorsport. So that was weird.
That was interesting. I guess it's kind of... Their numbers are getting a little high.
Yeah. I also wonder if this is going to kind of go... in kind of the direction of Halo Infinite. Where it's just going to be a... We're going to add more tracks. We're going to add more racing series. We're going to add more cars. But... We don't need to release a new motorsport game every other year.
Yeah,
probably not.
Like what they? So I'm currently playing Forza Motorsport 6, and I just wonder if maybe they do like mini campaigns, like they have in the DLC for that. Like there was a NASCAR campaign and a Porsche campaign. You could do stuff like that in a game like that. The Gunk. Which is from the guys who did SteamWorld.
Image and Form.
Yes. I don't know, that one looked very colorful. Very cartoony looking.
Yeah, somebody kind of said it's like a reverse Mario Sunshine. Where you're going around cleaning up gunk with like a... It's like a vacuum, essentially.
Yeah, like on your hand and back. Like you have a backpack hooked up with some tubes and stuff that's on your hand.
What's that one that's coming out this month where it looks like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Grounded.
Grounded. So with the outside Detroit, yeah.
That's the other Obsidian game. And that is coming, part of Game Pass. It is coming in 5 days, actually. But that is, it's not finished. It's like game preview, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It comes out on next Tuesday. That looks fun, though.
I forgot that was Obsidian.
Yeah, I think that, and that's also why I don't think we're going to see Avowed. Because Phantasy Star Online 2 New Genesis. Anybody excited for that? Yeah, no.
Sean is.
Is he?
Probably. He was in the Phantasy Star. I've never played one of those. Have you guys?
So PSO is very different than
Phantasy Star. Yeah.
Fantasy
Star. Regular Phantasy Star is a turn-based RPG.
And like PSO is like a fucking
action game. It's weird. I remember playing PSO on the GameCube, 4 players, split screen. That was fun. I never played it online, but
that game had online on the GameCube though. That was
it
like,
did, yeah.
I think that was the only official game that had online, I believe. Right?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, I know people like somehow hacked and got like Mario Kart online, but I think PSO might have been the only thing that. I mean, dude, online was not a thing on the GameCube.
No, I mean it was hardly a thing on the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
As well, and you had to buy that like weird adapter. Stalker 2 was announced for Xbox. That looks. Have you guys ever played Stalker?
I'm not.
No.
Wait, maybe.
It looked like a cross between
no,
Metro and Crysis.
Yes. It is very much Metro-y. It came out before Metro. Well, the first one did. Takes place in Russia. Very similar, like a post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland. I don't know. It could be fun. State of Decay 3 was teased.
Dude, is anyone... I don't know. I know you
wasn't the last one bad. I'm not into this game, but wasn't the last one like super bad?
No, it launched really buggy. But they're still working on it. They're still releasing. They actually just released a big update to it that has like an easier mode for new players. It's pretty good. Like it's an open world. Like just. Do you guys play the zombie DLC for Red Dead?
Yeah, the original one. Yeah.
So like think that, but like modern setting. And a scavenging component where you're kind of going and collecting stuff from other houses, but it's like zombie GTA. So it's pretty cool. Tetris Effect Connected. We talked about, as Jeff said, he's been saying that's coming.
Biding my time, and now I get it for free.
I will say,
I will bet you that you do get it for free, unlike other people who wait to buy it full price on another system.
I mean, I bought it full price on another system, and I was thinking, like last night. So Sony is in the middle of like a summer game sale, and it's like, well, maybe I'll just buy a digital version of it, and then I can play it on my PS5, and. Because I have it on disc, and I'm like, so I didn't do it last night, and I'm glad I didn't.
Because you're going to get those Cheapos! Yep. Yeah.
Warhammer 40K Dark Tide. It's a Warhammer 40K Left 4 Dead type game. 4-player co-op. That could be fun.
Potentially good. Potentially.
Yeah. Did you guys play Vermintide?
No.
It's the regular Warhammer. It's set in the regular Warhammer universe, where you fight off giant rats. I heard good things about that, and that's by the same studio, but now they're going to the 40K universe. So think like giant space marines with guns that have giant chainsaws on them as well. That could be fun. Crossfire X. That is free to play multiplayer shooter. Game looks good. The campaign is going to be by Remedy, which is evidently a paid piece of it. But any interest in playing that one?
Meh.
Yeah. Destiny 2 Beyond the Light is coming. I don't know exactly when, but evidently Game Pass, it's coming to Game Pass, and it will have everything, everything with it, all the expansions.
So that's kind of cool. I the thing that always got me about Destiny 2, I played at launch and then I stopped because expansions came out and I didn't play enough of the game at launch to like justify buying expansions. But if you're gonna take them and just throw them at me for free,
great.
Now I'm in.
And they confirmed that it is going to be xCloud streaming. So, I'm interested in trying that out. Maybe that's
you want to play Destiny on your phone.
I want to try it. If I could boot up, like, you know, it's like if you are able to hook up a controller to your phone and you could boot up and play, like, you know, a mission of Destiny or a round of Crucible. That could be kind of cool, if the quality's good.
Sure, if it works.
Everwild, which Jeff, I think, had already mentioned, the Rare game. Polygon has it, their notation here says, it's a mysterious game set in a magical wilderness with the vibe of Breath of the Wild meets Monster Hunter. That speaks to death.
and it's a rare game.
It's a rare game.
Teasing me, yeah, yeah.
now, don't forget that the last Rare game was a disappointment.
Oh,
it was really like the demo. Turned around eventually.
Did it?
I mean, people enjoy Get Thieves.
So there's Jeff people that doesn't. Do enjoy it. There's people that do like really.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed like the demo. Like I said, like the demo was really fun. But I was like, is there more to the actual game?
I guess not.
So I was just like, that's cool.
I wish
there. But like, it was really like neat and fun and colorful. Like,
yeah, I wish there was. Like, I wish it wasn't all PvP.
Yeah, and I wish there was.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could get in a boat with you guys and we could go do some cool pirate shit and like fight skeletons and get treasure and not have to worry about getting sunk.
All I do is see stories about people who try to do that and they're like, oh, but in the middle of our quest, some guys came up and we got griefed.
But
fantastic.
Like, wasn't it just like three basic mission types? Like, you know what I mean? Like, give me like a campaign or something to like play through.
Yeah, they've evidently added a lot since then, but yeah, when we played it, it was like three different types of missions. Hunting mission, treasure mission.
Did they add like an actual like story, a campaign in it?
I think
there are story possibly. Elements. Yeah,
there's like story lines, but it's not a campaign how we would view a campaign.
Okay.
Grounded, which we talked about, that is coming to early access or game preview next week. That looks like it could be fun.
Yeah.
The Medium, which I believe was also shown at the PlayStation event.
It was shown somewhere.
Yeah. It looks like a survival horror mystery type game. Looks really pretty.
I think it's the type of game that people who enjoy, what is it, Quantum Realm? Iron Wake and...
Yeah, Quantum Break.
Yes.
Quantum Break? Yes. Yeah, the Remedy guys. The game Remedy made, yes.
Yeah, that seems like the type of game that's in their wheelhouse. But yeah, it looked interesting. And that's one of the few ones where I can kind of see, like, oh... This is somewhat using the hardware power in an interesting way by having it, because it's both game worlds at the same time, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like you flip back and forth between them, or they're played side by side. I wasn't really sure how that was going. The Outer Worlds, Peril of the Gorgon. I think we did talk about that.
Did it, like, look cool or anything? Like, or is it just, like, a real brief...
They didn't really get into what the story of it is, but looked like more Outer Worlds, which I enjoyed. It looks like they're continuing with that goofy feel that game had.
Yeah, I thought that it was that in another game back to back where I'm like, oh, it's nice to kind of inject humor into these trailers. And one with Psychonauts 2 with Jetpack did the song for it.
Yep. Yes, Psychonauts 2 is the next game on this list. Double Fine showed that off. Jack Black doing a voice of a, I guess he's a brain or something. Thank you. Maybe it was called the Mote of Light. Maybe, not sure, but Jack Black is voicing it. Game looks good, like very colorful.
Yeah, it's extremely trippy, which is what you want for a game that takes place inside of somebody's head.
I want Jeff to play that game while. Tell Me Why is the new adventure game from Don't Nod. They're the guys who did Life is Strange. This is an Xbox exclusive. It's about twins with a supernatural bond. It's going to be episodic, so we'll see how that
and goes. So the two things I took away from this were, one, that, again, this was one of those examples of a game where it's coming out in August on the Xbox, and then it could be ready for the launch of the Series 1 later this year.
Yep.
But the other thing was that, and I could be completely wrong, this is the first episodic game I know of where they gave us the date for the first three episodes. And it's like August 27th, September. It's like 3 weeks in a row where you get chapters. And I'm like, I didn't know episodic games could do that. They could do a schedule.
So the only one that I know of that followed a schedule and did it pretty well was Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Yes, and that was another one where it was basically the full game was completed and they just broke it down.
Yes.
But, and that was still like once a month.
Yeah, I think it was every other week, but yes, something like it wasn't every week, but.
But yes, the fact that Don't Nod is doing? Yeah, they gave out the release dates. I don't know if it's three chapters, it could be more, but they gave out the release date for the first three chapters. And I'm like, yes, I'm much more worthy, much more likely to play an episodic game when I know like those episodes, one, are going to come out and aren't going to come out. You know, 3 months, 6 months, okay. A year later.
Yeah, that was the worst thing about the Telltale games. Like,
you never knew.
Yeah, you get episode one, and then, oh, the next one's coming next month. And then it's 4 months, 5 months down the road when you finally get that episode.
And then it's like, episode four, episode five is going to come out tomorrow. Get it done. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you know, I hope that was from Xbox. They were like, hey, get the game done. We'll release it all at once. You know, I like the idea of scheduled gaming. Like, here's an episode. I can come back next week and play more. But yeah, if it doesn't stay consistent, it doesn't work. Balan Wonderworld, which Earl and I have already talked about. That looks really cute.
That does. I mean, it looks like it's... I mean, and I put the highest of compliments. It looks like a game that could have come from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Ew, as I'm far. Out.
I know Jeff is waiting on this one. Dragon Quest XI S Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition.
Try to say that one time fast.
Are we sure that's not a strategy game that Jeff is afraid of?
Well, it's a square title, as you can tell by the fact that there's a lot of words that may add up to something.
or not.
It looks good. I have not played a Dragon Quest game since the first one.
The one irony, one thing that people are kind of upset about is that I don't know how much you follow Dragon Quest XI, but there was another version of Dragon Quest XI that came out on the PlayStation 4 and the 3DS. Then there was the Dragon Quest XI S, which is this version, which is the Switch release, which has like improvements in music and sound and stuff like that, but it takes a hit in the graphics. So that's the one they're porting over. So like people on PC and PS4 who have another version and want to get like the upgraded sound, the 2D stuff and the additional characters have to buy this, but they have to swallow the fact that they're getting the one with downgraded graphics.
That does suck. But I wasn't going to buy it, so.
Well, I mean, it's part of Game Pass.
Yeah. I will try Dragon Quest XI. I heard that's like a 100-hour game, though. I don't have much interest in a 100-hour game. We'll see. Did you play any of it, Earl?
No. I mean, now that I don't have to pay for it because it's free.
Yep. We can all try it now. Echo Generation. That's a turn-based adventure game. Not really sure. I don't remember seeing that one. Exo Mecha. It's a online first-person shooter that's free to play. I don't remember that one either. Hello Neighbor 2, though. I did see this one in the pre-show. That one looked fun.
This is the third game in the series, though, right? Or something.
I think, I think there's like a game like Hello Neighbor that has like a subtitle or something.
Yeah, it's really weird because I saw them on Game Pass and back to back, the dude just looks really creepy.
Yes. Yeah, he does. I'm not really sure. Like, I don't know the premise of the game. It looks like you are in a house and like a serial killer that happens to be your neighbor is chasing you around and you are trying to escape from him. I'm not sure if it is like, is it competitive? Like, are you playing as the neighbor and the person trying to escape or super colorful looking, like goofy, fun, horror title. I was interested in it. They also showed Watch Dogs Legion in the after show. That's a game. And then, let's see. There were a couple games that are being optimized for Xbox Series X that they talked about. Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Sea of Thieves, and Gears Tactics, along with a bunch of other ones that are also receiving updates. But they did not give the date for Gears Tactics, though. So hopefully that is...
I mean, part of that is the date for many things.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the closest we got is, and I forget which game, there was one game that was dated like November 10th, which would be around when I think the system would drop.
Launch, yeah. November 10th would put it at... it's a Tuesday in November, second week. At that point, I think we'll know whether the world is on fire and we're all dead.
We are dead.
Oh, so, fuck.
Sorry, Jeff.
So, yeah, that was everything that they showed. It wasn't a lot. I mean, it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Didn't seem like... I mean, again, I didn't watch it. But just running it down here. Like, the second half, you just ran through real quick because it's like, it's just games with upgrades. So.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I don't know. I kind of came out going the same way I did with the
PlayStation event.
Yeah, it was like, these are cool. I want to play some of them. But I don't know. I'm not feeling it just yet.
Well, and here's the thing, and again, kind of going back to the point about E3 being 50,000 events spread out over 2 months, is, and I think we had the same discussion around when they had their showcase in May, is I feel like this would have been a stronger showcase if they had done this combined with that, where there were games in that first showcase that don't necessarily stand on their own as system sellers, but coupled that with some of their big first-party titles, it would have been a much more interesting showcase. Instead, you kind of got the two halves where it's like, okay, I guess.
And from what Phil Spencer said, like, they're not done either. Like, we didn't, there's still Xbox Game Studios games in production that they haven't shown yet, and that they're going to show in a future showcase.
Yeah.
So which, it's like,
and again, I get it, but I feel like Microsoft and Sony are kind of operating in the year 2 or 3 mentality where it's like, oh yeah, you know, like, people are kind of ingrained in these systems. We can kind of show them these games piecemeal because, you know, like, they just need stuff to hold them over. It's like, no, we're at the point where you're trying to sell us the systems. And neither one of them are trying to, I mean, literally, neither one of them, because we have no dates or price for either one of them.
Yeah. I do think, and this is kind of how I came out of the Xbox showcase, is that Microsoft isn't trying to sell you a box necessarily. They're trying to get you into their service.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just, it's a weird thing for me to process, you know, as I've watched multiple console generations and the shift over, and it's always, this is why you want to buy our new box. And Microsoft's approach really is just like, hey, you want to buy our new box? It's going to look better. It's going to play better. You don't have to, because you can play your games over here or over here. Just get our service. So I don't think they're necessarily trying. I mean, they want us to buy it, I'm sure, but I don't necessarily think that's their main focus here. It's just weird. It just feels weird.
It does. It very much feels. And there was an article I think I read today from, where was it? Was it Game Industry or Game Biz? Where they're essentially saying that all three publishers are major console holders, I should say, are trying to do something different this time around. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's true, but ultimately they have three different objectives, but they still are trying. At the baseline, you still need to sell people that hardware. And then if you want to sell them software, if you want to sell them your ecosystem, if you want to sell them your newest invention, you still need to get them to buy something.
Right. And I said this to our friend Javi. It's like, all three of them are playing on the same field, but they're all playing different games.
Yeah.
and let's see what Javi said, like, Sony's going the traditional route with it. Microsoft is going in all in on like this Game Pass, the service model. And Nintendo is like leaning into like the handheld market and merging the handheld and console market with their exclusives. Like, it's interesting. It's just really weird. This has been a weird year. This is not helping things, this weird approach to this new generation.
Yeah. I mean, I think because none of us really know or knew what to, we still don't know what to expect. And that hasn't changed, and I think that's the issue. It's like, what are you selling us at the end of the year? Like, what is the price? What are we being asked for? Something.
There's, yeah.
What games are actually coming out?
Halo.
And Spider-Man.
Halo and Spider-Man. That's it.
We'll have two games.
Also, Nintendo has nothing.
$1,200 for consoles for two games. It's going to be great.
But there's all those other games that we already have on the Xbox.
That we can play again.
I have a lot I haven't played yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of what they're going for, because I think they came out today and they said earlier this week that they have one of the biggest... they have the biggest launch lineup ever, like 100 games. And it's like, yeah, but like, how many of those are 100 like Xbox Series 1 games? And how many of those are just like games you can play on the system? It's like if Nintendo would be like, yeah, you know, like the Wii had the biggest launch lineup ever because you got all the GameCube games.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I'm getting them anyway, so. And I am kind of excited to see where this goes. It's just, it's, I want the details. I think much like you, Earl, I want to know, I want the big details. Like this little, little piecemeal stuff isn't doing it. Let me know what we're buying in 3.5 months. And that's the thing. We're 3.5 months or less from these things hitting coming show. Out.
Yeah.
Who is buying what new systems? Sounds like Chris, you're buying like PS5 and Xbox.
Probably. I mean, I'm definitely buying an Xbox. Like just, I have a 4K TV. I want to be able to see these games in the best possible fashion. I want a PS5. I don't know why. Right, like outside of Spider-Man, I don't know what I need it for, and is it going to become like my PS4, which was, you know, I played Killzone, I played, you know, Knack or whatever their launch titles were, and then I didn't turn it on for 18 months because they didn't release anything until 2015.
Yeah, that's going to happen again, by the way. You're going to get, like, 3 titles at launch and then nothing.
Right. Like, at least I know with, you know, because I've kind of made my decision that Microsoft is where I play multiplayer games, where I play third-party games. Like, I'm just going to get the best-looking version of those games on that system. So I need to, like, find a valid reason for me to get a PS5.
Yeah, and like I said last week, I am the ideal candidate for these systems, and I don't think I'm convinced on either one of them this year. I think Jeff and I we're both single. We both still work. We have not really had to spend a ton of money. I have nothing but cash to spare this year, and neither one of them are like there being like you have to get this day one, and it's definitely frustrating because. You know, what was it going to... Because you know that... Like you know that these systems both will have launch issues. Oh, and sure. I don't want to be a guinea pig.
I just... I mean, I pretty much echo everything Earl says, where it's like, if I was going to buy one, I'd probably buy the new Xbox. But, like, I just don't feel any need. Like, I think that the Xbox One X, like, looks amazing. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I'll upgrade at some point. But if I don't have to, why the fuck? I'm like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, if I was forced to, then I would do it. But, you know. I guess in PS5 case. To. But I don't care.
I have to because I have no impulse control.
Yeah, me too. That's the thing. Like, I see this new thing coming out. I want it. I absolutely want it. I probably don't need it at all. In fact, I already have way more games than I could ever play in my entire life. But anymore.
You know, who knows? Maybe I will buy it. I just don't feel any need. No.
And I think Microsoft is like speaking to you on that, where they're like, "Hey, hey, you can still play Halo. Give us your money for your month of Game Pass, and you can play Halo. You want to play Grounded? You can play Grounded with your friends. Like, you know, Tony and I might be looking at it in 4K with ray tracing, but like, you could still play with us."
I mean, aren't games on Xbox One X 4K? Like, I've seen a bunch of games with the 4K symbol on it, you know? Like,
I think that's going to be the hard thing to do as well. It's like, we didn't mention this. I think when they were showing Ori and the Blind Forest, Ori and the World of Witch,
yes, yep.
They showed, like, they had a comparison between, like, 60 frames per second and 120 frames per second. And it's like, you're going to have to start doing that stuff because there's a lot of people, myself included, who, like, I own a 4K TV and I can tell the difference, but, like, you have to own a device to actually tell the difference. You're not going to get that on YouTube or Twitch because most people don't have that technology. Even on my TV, those services don't tend to output in 4K.
And I think that's you're right, Earl. Like, and that's part of my frustration with this is that if you were just to show us Ori at 120 frames per second and, you know, 4K or whatever, it's like, yeah, it looks good, but kind of looks exactly like what I played 8 months ago, which was evidently 60 frames per second and not 4K, but it still looked fucking amazing.
Like, I don't know. Paper Mario looks amazing to me on fucking Switch, and it's like,
yeah, it's
none of
like,
that.
It's art style, right? Like, yeah. Like art style can trump technical stuff very often.
Yeah, more often than not, I think. And I think again, that's kind of the issue we're seeing with these new systems is you now have to sell us on art style or sell us on like why these technological advances that most people don't either. Like, the difference between like when we switched to HD, and I think a lot of people always credit that, like, oh, you know, people were getting HD TVs because they were tiny, not because of the higher resolution. It was because they didn't have to have those fat backs anymore.
Yeah, they were light, they were easy to position, they give you a little more room, you can hang them on your wall.
Yeah, I still
remember, like, that stupid CRTV that I had forever, that I got in college, and now I have like a really big TV that weighs less and is easier for me to move by myself.
Yes. And that's why people got it. And then it's like, okay, like, so, and this is something the TV market is having. It's like, okay, now we have to sell people a new TV. So we're going to do like, and I've mentioned this before, like we had, like there was a time when people tried the curved TV. I don't know if you folks remember that.
Yep.
A curved monitor. I love it.
But and I think there's some novelty to it, but it's a very niche market. There's the 3D TVs. There were the ones where it's like, okay, you know, like if you sit here, you can view it perfectly and all that other stuff. Or like they had the Edge TVs. So yeah, people have tried different ways to sell TVs, and good on them for trying. It drives down the prices of other ones, but most people don't know or don't care. So like 4K HDR. And again, HDR looks great if you know how to set it up. And I think that's also another thing that I think Sony's pretty good with it. I don't think the Xbox does HDR automatically. I could be wrong.
I believe it's on a game-by-game basis.
It's on a game-by-game basis, but like with the PS4, like it will tell you, like, oh yeah, your thing is in
performance, HDR. Not performance. Right, yeah.
Yeah. And that's something I think they need to Microsoft needs to do with the Series 1 if you're going to make this a big selling point for people. Yeah, we'll see. We will see.
Yep. So muted excitement from us. Muted.
Muted.
Give us the prices.
That's right. Give me prices and dates and let me pre-order.
Okay. And the one thing I will say, and I kind of said this at the start, it was a good presentation as far as like, I think when we had the Sony one, I complained about the fact that Sony just had a lot of content with very little in between to break it up. So it kind of felt like I was just being overwhelmed with information, where I thought this one was pretty good at, like, they had people talking, they broke it up with stuff like that. Like, you got context for what people were showing before and after. You got talking heads, you got details. It was a much, it flew very quickly. I thought the hour went by very fast. They were pretty clear on like what is an exclusive, what isn't. I mean, as far as like world premieres go, I still hate the branding, but it was very clear as to what you're getting. I thought I came out of here understanding the games. And on the Sony, they gave release dates for certain titles. Granted, a lot of them are for the Xbox One, but they release dates.
Right. And to be fair, like unlike with Sony's, which was a PS5 showcase, this was always declared as like an Xbox showcase. because you know their platforms are blurring the lines between each other. So
yeah, I was surprised when I saw like Xbox One titles, but it, like you said, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Jeff, anything else to add on this?
Jeff's dead.
No.
No.
Died already. I didn't think it would be so soon, Jeff. You still haven't played Tony Hawk.
Right.
Stay with us.
That is coming out, isn't it?
It is coming out. It is September, right?
September, like, 4th? Like, first week of September, whatever that is.
But instead of us talking about games that we may or may not play on systems we may or may not buy, why don't we talk about some stuff we did do this week? I mean, there was a couple big games that came out. The first thing I want to hear about, though, is Earl, you watched all the Land Before Time movies.
Oh, okay. That was not where I thought we were going to start with this, but
I kind of need to know.
I think we should start calling you Littlefoot. I mean,
no, we are good.
What is the best Land Before Time movie?
Oh, it's the original. Not backstory at all. My friends asked me this today. Like, they were like, "Why did you watch all the Land Before Time movies?" And I'm like, "I wish I could tell you." essentially what happened, I don't know why it was on my brain. I knew there was a lot of them, I never knew how many, and I just jokingly asked on Facebook, like, you know, how many Before Time movies have people seen? And some people responded like they had seen all of them, and it maybe almost everybody who responded that were parents. And I was like, oh, you know, like it's so weird. And then like the next day I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I really want to see all of them.
I have a mission.
And they were, I think, yeah. A part of it is that having something on when I'm working. So it's not like I was watching them. They were on the background as I worked during the day. And it's just easy for me to do, like, I don't do TV shows because half the time I do TV shows, I just kind of get sucked into them. So it's like, okay, this seems like something I wouldn't necessarily watch, but I was curious about it. And I thought I'd seen more of them when I was younger. So I rewatched the first one, and the first one still kind of stands up. It's still kind of a good movie. And then I watched the second one thinking like I had seen the first two or three of them. And within like the first 10 minutes or so of the first one, it turned into a musical number. And I'm like, wait, what? I don't remember these things being musicals. And that's pretty much the rest of the series, is that somehow turns into like knockoff Disney musicals. And and some of them are better than others, but they're not like, I don't think there any of them are truly awful. I think a lot of them are just, they don't have, what do you call it? A plot? Like at some point it becomes very formulaic that there's two things that's going to happen. And I don't know Sharptooth becomes like the go-to bad guy, and it's really funny too because you could tell like they actually pay attention to dinosaur research, because the Sharptooth, if you remember the original, is a T-Rex, and by the time you get near the end of it, it's a Spinosaurus and it's a Dinosaurus, which became kind of like, these are the more dangerous dinosaurs than T-Rex, so those became the Sharptooth. And then I think in the 13th or 14th one, and there are 14 of them, some of the dinosaurs actually had like fur, which had come out as well. So I was really surprised by the fact that they actually kind of paid attention to this stuff and incorporated it into the movie.
So over like the 10 years of Littlefoot's life, dinosaurs undergo millions of years of evolution.
Yeah. and he still does not age. So.
That is amazing. Well, I am glad that you survived that 14 film odyssey.
I am glad it's over.
Chris, do you remember that? Like back in the day, I was like pushing for us to do that on Movie Dudes.
Threatened us to watch that whole series.
I'm actually happy we didn't, based on what Earl said again. It's just like bad kid garbage, you know.
Yeah, and it's horrible. There are much, much worse shows that your kids could make you watch with them.
Sounds like you're very familiar with the series, Tony.
I've had some experiences.
And I will say this.
We have not.
I would also say,
with girls in the house.
There's 14 of them, so it's not like I have a friend right now who has a 2-year-old who's watching a lot of Cars. There's 3 movies you're watching over and over and over
again. Oh, God, yes.
So you got 14 movies.
Although, to be fair, the Cars movies are actually good and entertaining, even if you're an adult. I don't mind that.
I like the first one. I haven't seen the third one.
So the first one and the third one are actually great. Like, they're actually, like, really, really good. The second one is fine.
Is this Stockholm Syndrome speaking?
Love how, like...
The first one, you guys
are, like, with the fucking Halloween series. I mean, like, the first and the third one, the second one, I don't know, like... I love that. It's great.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten movie time out of the way, tell us about Paper Mario and the Origami King.
Yes.
Jeff, you and Earl have played this. Tony, your kids have played it, yes?
Yes. The reviews are glowing. I have not played it myself.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's really fun, Earl.
I honestly am surprised by how much I'm enjoying it. I mean, Cards on the Table, I'm playing it right now. I think it finally kind of achieved what they've been trying to do since Sticker Star, which is convert this totally from an RPG series to an adventure series. It is, I've seen a lot of people make comparisons to this kind of being like Paper Zelda.
I was just going to say that, because, like, I had not seen that, but, like, I was just saying, like, when I first heard there's not leveling and experiences, like, I thought there was none of that, but it's, like, it's more like Zelda. Like, you will build up your hearts, you will build up this, you will build up that, like, but it's not the same as, like, how you would think an RPG would be, right? You know? Sorry.
How does combat work?
Combat is really interesting.
The combat itself works like Paper Mario, if you've ever played that. So it's turn-based, time-based battle.
Hit the A button right before you stomp, and then you get more damage. Like, it plays exactly, like, the mechanics of that feel exactly like any Paper Mario.
I saw some, like, concentric circle games.
But yeah, but, like, the battles themselves, like, the whole battle system itself has, like, this, like, rotating puzzle element to it,
yeah,
which is awesome.
And I found that, like, part to be much more engaging.
It's so cool, dude. I don't like it for, well, I try to avoid the little fights because I know, like, I'm not getting experience from those, so it's like, but once you're in it, you're like, all right, it's engaging to do the puzzle, right?
It's fun, like, the combat's engaging, but it's fun if you do have to do it.
So. It's like you want to line up the enemies as best as possible to hit them in as few, like, you essentially want to hit them before they can hit you back, and you have to, like, they're, like, on this board with all these rings, and you have to, like, rotate the rings to try to line them up so you can hit them all at once, you know, like, so it's like a puzzle every time, like, and sometimes you'll fuck it up, and, like, you know, you're pressured because you're under, like, you know, you have, like, 30 seconds to, like, decide, right? Like,
yeah,
what you're gonna do. But you can't, like, that's another thing you can upgrade. Like, there's a shop you'll eventually open up, and you can fucking pay the guy, and he'll give you, like, this thingy that you can attach that gives you more time to do the puzzle. Like, so, like, there is a progression, like, any good adventure.
Even that,
game,
or and one of the things that it wasn't even necessary the fact that it didn't have of an up, it's the fact that like the battle systems never mattered, because like in Sticker Star and Color Smash, Sticker Star you had to use your stickers for battle, but you also need your stickers for puzzles, which made them a finite resource that you had to replenish. So it made sense to avoid battles because then you'd waste stickers that you needed. Where this game gives you coins, and the coins, like the coins are coins, and you don't use them in battle, but you can use them in battle. So you can use the coins like, to buy more time. You can use the coins to like you find toads throughout the world and you unlock them, and then they become audience members, and you could pay them to cheer you on. So they will help you with the puzzles. They will refill your health. They will like attack enemies for you.
But like, I mean, that's good to have, but you're gonna have like, I think it costs 10 coins to use one. So it's like, okay, yeah, it's 10 coins per I have second. Fucking 8 million coins. Like I don't know. I just feel like ultimately the coins, like there is one part. I think if you remember, it's like in the Overlook Mountain area where you have to like pay to get one of the things you need to like advance through the level. And it was like, you know, we need like so many thousand coins. So I was like, I think it was like 10,000 coins. I was like, thank God I have that money, you know?
Oh,
like,
no. You could talk him down.
Oh,
he
you
can. 500.
You're talking about 500?
Yeah.
Jeff got fleeced.
That's like, I spent.
Get out of town. It was like 10,000.
Yeah. And you tell, if you tell him no, he's like, okay, I'll give you half price. And
yeah.
Like,
okay.
And then he like eventually, because the Cooper Troopers are around there as well, right? And they are like, oh, that's such a good deal. If you don't do it, I'm going to buy it myself. And you could just. And event, I don't even know if you can talk them down cheaper than 500, but I got to 500. I'm like, you know what? I could pay 500.
Well, then, yeah, like the coins really don't matter, because I was gonna say you need it for something like that, you know. But so, like,
but
yeah,
there are other things you like. You said you get certain, yeah. You can buy certain equipment in the game, like those badges. So, like the badge I have right now, I have one that allows me to see where all the toads are when I'm on the map. I have a health boost, so I get like, it's random, it's between 5 or 15 whenever you start the battle, you get that additional health. You could get guard chest, get one that you said gives you more time. So yeah, there's a lot of reason, and then like some of the unlockables you have to pay for them. But yeah, it works out. And I think it's a coin economy, but like there's reasons to use the coins, there's reasons to do battle.
I never felt like, oh shit, I gotta go back and get more coins. It was like, yeah, I'm fucking rich, I got this. Like, I don't know.
Is it amuse, like the story funny?
It's
funny, and then there's moments that are actually sad. I won't ruin too much, but I just had a moment that was super sad.
My favorite joke so far is when someone tells Mario, he's like, you're better when you were a side scroller. I don't know if you remember that line.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's just like every Paper Mario game, like the look and the like vibe and the humor of it is like awesome. And like, I don't know, like I think the battle system is really neat in this. We haven't really talked about the boss battles yet, right?
Yes. And that was the other thing I was going to say. I think the boss battle system is actually more interesting than
it's
the core
same,
gameplay.
It's the ring thing, but except like you're like starting at the outside of the rings, and you have to like they have arrows on them, and you have to like imagine a path in your head like that the arrows send you through to like go through like and like activate a switch and then end up at the switch pad to hit the boss. Like it's like a really cool. I mean, I'm probably not making any sense like, describing it, but it's like. Yeah, you're just kind of like sending yourself on this path towards the boss. Like that, you're like lining up these rings to send you towards the boss.
Yeah. So essentially, in the core game, when you fight people, you're fighting as Mario and you're working your way out to the enemies. In this one, you're fighting your way towards the enemy in the middle. So like the paths will have like different arrows, and like along the way you could pick up stuff. So you could pick up like you get to attack twice in one go. You get to do double damage. Later on, you have to get what they call, value metal moves. So you have to, like, turn those switches on, and then you can either turn them on and kill your turn, or you could find a path that allows you to turn it on and get to one. Because, yeah. Like, there are certain bosses that you have to go to. Like, there's certain bosses have certain weak points that you have to navigate towards. Like, the first one you fight is a paper mache turtle. And in order to take him out, you have to hit his limbs. Or if you are really lucky, you can navigate behind his tail. And if you hammer his tail, you do a lot of damage. And then the second boss, which they showed in the Nintendo Treehouse thing a few weeks ago, was it's a colored pencils. I mean, that's the name of the boss. It's colored pencils.
Yeah, and I got stuck at the end of that one, dude, when it started doing like the
machine gun.
Yeah.
I
was like, what the hell am I supposed to do, man? Like, I wasn't hurting it. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, I forgot what the solution was, to be honest. But
yeah, and well, I brute forced it and just kind of healed up. But the actual solution I looked up after the fact is you're supposed to use the thousand-fold arms and grab the pencil
and start slamming.
And then
that's the other thing. Yes. The like bosses and some of the puzzles make you feel like you're playing a Wii game, which is like it like totally incorporates like that weird Wii motion control shit into it.
I mean,
this sounds like maybe a bad thing, but like I'm so having fun with this game.
I was gonna say the big difference is you could turn off the motions for that.
Okay.
In the menus, I have not done it yet, but yeah, one of the toads will tell you if you want to turn off the motions, you can go to the menu.
It feels fun though, it's often like at the end of a boss battle, it'll be like slam down, so it feels like Donkey Kong Jungle Beat, where you're just like, I'm gonna beat the shit out of the boss here, you know? Like, I don't know, like I think this game is fucking awesome, dude. Like, I'm super into it. Like, I've only played through the first streamer. Like, I just started the second one, but.
Yeah.
So many cool, like, you know, there's like that really cool, like, kind of Indiana Jones's part when you're getting chased by like a giant, like, boulder.
Yeah.
And it was like right at the last second you realize what you have to do. You're like, oh, okay. I don't know. This game is fucking cool shit, dude, I think.
And I will say, as I finished the second streamer, I just started the third one tonight. And the second and third transitions very, like I said, it's actually one of the sadder moments in a Mario game. But the second, it takes some certain tropes of the Mario franchise and turns it on its head and in such a fun way. Because the second world is like, it's like a very, it's a Western theme, kind of like a desert thing. And you're like, okay, it's going to be like the desert area. And then you end up in a, essentially what's a ninja theme park. And so, like, there's one part of the level where you're finding, like, toads who are, like, ninjas, so they're hidden fat against the wall, and you have to, like, uncover different panels and stuff like that to find all the hidden toads. You could play dress-up as Mario in a ninja costume, but the true genius of that stage to me is the boss level. And if you go on my Twitter right now, I have a video of that boss battle. Because I remember when the game was showing off, people were like, oh, Nintendo's so lazy and uncreative. Because, like, the bosses, like, the first boss is colored pencils. The second boss you fight is a bunch of rubber bands. And you think, okay, like, it's just...
I think it's cool.
It's kind of like you're sitting like kicking around your office at work. And you're like, okay, I'm going to make this a character. And you think, like, yeah, nothing's going to come of that. And the colored pencils are okay. They have a personality, not that much. Then they make the rubber band person a stage performer who does this whole number as they come down. So this is like this second or third musical number in this entire game so far. So the rubber band, the whole setup is like, it's a stage performance. You go through multiple levels of different plays. It's mostly a Western. A Birdo makes an appearance. It's fantastic. It's so great. There's a ballet at some point. So like this rubber band man comes and he makes like this grand performance and he sings and he dances. And I'm just like, this is so nonsensical, but it works. And then you get into the actual boss battle. And again, it's one of those boss battles that you really have to use your powers because, and spoilers, you can't actually attack it with your jump or hammer because it's a rubber band. And when you do that, everything just snaps back and it just regains the health it lost. So you have to find other ways to attack it. And I thought it was such a great and creative way to use abilities, but also to take this household object and make it something fun and funny.
Well, it sounds like Paper Mario, the Origami King, is a winner.
It is like unless you're like just opposed to the series. I think me and Ertl like are both more into the series than some people. I don't know, like, but I think this game is awesome as shit. Like, I think this is like a major release for Nintendo this year, you know?
I mean, it is the Mario game. Yeah. But and I will be honest with you, I played the first, the first hour or two, and I'm like, okay, it's fine, it's fun, I'm not feeling it. And then around the time when it kind of does become the legend of Paper Mario, where you're kind of in that, yeah, that first dungeon and you have to figure out like this multiple room puzzle, or yeah, I think the second really one, cool. the second one's the water temple where you have different rising levels of water. And again, I don't want to like oversell this as like, oh man, these are Zelda level puzzles. Like, it's a Mario game, a lot of them are straightforward, but the fact that there are puzzles and there are things you need to figure out, like the Shogun Studios one, there's a very, I mean, it's essentially a fetch quest in an RPG, but it's a very complicated one where it's like, okay, you gotta get this item to get to this character who gives you this item, which you then take to that character who gives you this item, who gives you this thing, which you can give to that character, and then you can be on your way. And it's like, but they do it in such a creative way that you never feel like, oh man, this is such a chore.
That does sound bad. Because, like, the first, like, at least the first level did not feel like that to me. It was just like, I don't know, like, you're constantly coming up on the new puzzles and stuff, and you're like, okay, how do I solve this? And then there'd be, like, these cool set pieces, like the Indiana Jones thing I mentioned, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, and I was having fun on the way to that. Like, even, like, just doing Toad Town at first, where you had to go around Toad Town and, like, you know, that's, like, the hub area. But, oh, yeah, like, when you first get there, you gotta, like, just, like, find five pieces to advance or whatever, like...
Yeah, and we missed the other thing, because there's another type of battle, which actually does show up a few times now, is the paper mache battles. So there are like giant enemies on the overworld who you have to sneak up behind them and hammer them. So it's like, you know, it's very simple. It's nothing fancy, but it's really, again, another way to break up the game into something different.
All right.
Also, some of the like enemy encounters you'll run into on the field, you could upgrade yourself so that you could just jump on those Koopas and not have to go into an actual battle with them. I thought I was like, did you get that upgrade, Earl?
Yeah, I mean, and that's been a staple of the series. So, like, you have web at some point where you could just run into enemies. Yeah. But it's really, yeah. And the funny thing is, like, you can sometimes level up so much that you go to a new area, and some of the default enemies you just kind of like jump or hammer, and it's like, yeah, okay, we're done. We don't have to battle with them.
You guys play anything else this week besides Paper Mario?
I mean, I play more of Far Cry New Dawn. I think it's really good. I think I'm pretty close to the end of it. I forgot if I even talked about it last week, but...
You did, yeah.
Yeah. One thing that's weird is that, like, you need a lot of ethanol to upgrade your base. Like, that's like, the main thing you use to upgrade your base. And near the end of the game, or at least I'm assuming I'm near the end of the game, they're like, you need to upgrade your base like fucking 12 times. And I was like, I had upgraded it like 3 times. Like, oh shit! And so then I went and liberated, like, basically the way to get ethanol is to go like take over other outposts or whatever, you know, like.
Did they grow corn there?
I don't know. There
are there like, trucks of it, like, moving around, too? Can't you, like, hijack?
Yeah, them? There's trucks, but, like, the main way is, like, to take over, like, other enemy bases. And I took over all the bases. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't have nearly enough to upgrade my own base. And I guess you have to, like, retake over the fucking bases you've already... Like, basically, you just, like... do the same bases over and over like 3 or 4 times in the game. But you get more, like they get harder each time and you get more ethanol for beating them. So I got to do that, I guess, to reach the end game. And I, you know, I think it's kind of like wasting my time, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
work. But
it's like,
you know,
one of those ones where it's like, oh, you need X amount of stars or coins to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, like, that's my favorite thing to do in a Far Cry game is, like, any game like that where it's, like, take over these bases and then you kind of, like, expand your territory. So, I guess I get to do it again, you know?
Earl, you play anything else?
I mean, outside of the same stuff I've been playing with friends, Torchlight and Dauntless, I think it's mostly been Paper Mario in my free time.
Well, circling back to Jeff's favorite thing, liberating outposts or whatever. You can do that a lot in Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh, yeah.
There are bases to liberate.
Yeah.
Is it the best PlayStation exclusive of all time?
No.
Is it amazing?
I don't know, Tony, you could tell me.
Played nearly enough of it, but...
I played... how far in are you?
I have just finished basically the tutorial level.
Okay.
The world just opened up for me, so now I can go wherever I want.
So I'll be interested to hear what you say going forward. My impression, I'm about 7 hours in. I'm almost done Act 1. Like, there's like a checklist that tells you, like, do these 3 or 4 things to finish Act 1. So I have one more I have to do. It feels very much like a classic Assassin's Creed game.
Sounds terrible.
You know, the combat's a little bit different. There's these different stances you can get. So like right now, I think I have 2 of them. The stone stance is the one you start with. And then if you kill enough leaders, you then learn the water stance, and that stance like is useful against like shielded enemies. And I assume that like the other two will help you against like spear enemies or archers or brutes or whatever. But yeah, so there's the open world, though, is very much like classic Assassin's Creed. You know, where there's things to do out in the world. There's missions, but then there's like lots of like little question marks to go follow up on. And it's also like classic Assassin's Creed. It's like if there are certain missions where if like you get caught, the mission's kind of over.
Oh, no.
Or if you get caught, like, then they'll try, like, if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to rescue a hostage or something and you set off an alarm, like, they will send somebody to go kill the hostage. So you have to, like, take that person out. It feels very, very classic Assassin's Creed-y in this. The climbing is very automated.
I like the wind.
The wind is interesting, yeah.
The next waypoint.
So to kind of explain that, what Tony just mentioned, it is it's kind of your directional. Like there's not an on-screen mini map, and I also think that the actual map is virtually useless.
It lacks in detail.
Yeah, like it is this like very beautiful looking thing, but it is just. It's not filled in, and it only fills in as you walk through areas. So, like, mine has, like, weird, like, black crisscrosses all over because I haven't been everywhere. But as you get close to places, like, little question marks will link up. And you can then highlight those question marks on the map as a waypoint. But when you go back to the world, like, do I go north? Do I go south? I'm not even sure which way I am because there's nothing telling me.
Follow the wind.
Yeah, you swipe up on the touchpad, and visibly, like the wind will blow a certain way, and that's kind of that. That's how you know where you got to go
towards the waypoint that you want.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. The game is beautiful looking, like very, very, very good looking.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they did that so that they wouldn't have to put anything else on the screen, like to reduce the number of
icons. Yeah, I'm sure. Like it's because that the HUD is very minimal.
Yeah.
Like when you need it, it's there. Like if you need to like change your stance or change your equipment, like when you press the buttons to do that, it'll bring it up. But otherwise it's a very sparse looking HUD. Like even the distance, like oh you're 470 meters from the waypoint, that'll fade over time, and you like to get it back up, you need to swipe back up to get the wind to blow again. I don't know. I think it takes itself maybe a little too seriously. There's very little comic relief. Like even Assassin's Creed, which could be overly serious sometimes. Like they always had like some funny stuff. Like you would always, you're doing missions for Leonardo da Vinci and like some goofy crap going on. There's not a whole lot of that here. It's all very serious.
That's unfortunate.
And maybe there's something later, but so far it's been very, and it's a dour story, right? Like your island has been attacked by the Mongols. All the samurai have died. They've all been killed. You're in the
battle where they all get killed. Like I just love it when they send the one guy out to you know, fight their best warrior, and so they just light him on fire. Oops.
Yeah, and then the rest of you go and you all get slaughtered, except for like a few of you, I guess, that are spread throughout the island, and then you somehow survived because this thief saved you, and your uncle, who is the leader of the island, he's been taken hostage. Yes, yeah, it's like this very, like, very serious, dour tone to everything.
Yeah. I did like the tutorial. Because most of these games have like a really contrived training session.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he picks up the sword and then it takes him back to the days of his youth when he's still first learning how to use it.
Yeah.
Like I thought that was cool. Like to make the tutorial like part of the storyline.
Yeah. And I think it works because like, as you said, like it's always stupid when it's like, I think the one I always love, I enjoy the mission, but the opening of the original Gears of War, where it's like Dom shows up, he busts Marcus out of jail, and then he's like, "Hey, you know, you might need to run through the paces." And he's telling you how to throw a grenade, and Marcus Fenix is a decorated war hero, and you're telling him how to shoot a gun and throw a grenade, and this like it goes back to when, you know, Jin wouldn't know how to use a samurai sword and teaches you the mechanics. And then when you go back into the world, you feel like a badass.
That's right. And it instantly throws somebody at you and you're like, ah, you're dead. Sorry.
And it is a brutal, it is like there's blood splatter all over the place. Like these kills are not.
People are grabbing their throat and like choking to death on their blood. It's.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the things I don't know. I probably, after talking about The Last of Us and how I enjoyed like the you know, the actual action in that, which is brutal, and then this now, I'm going to sound like a complete psychopath, but there is, you know, in most games when you go through somebody, like you kill them, they're all dead. In this, like sometimes like you'll just like hurt them enough that like they've been mortally wounded, but they're like crawling away. And like you can either leave them there to die on their own, or you can, like you can kill them. Like basically walk up and like they're gurgling and crawling, and like you can stab them with your sword. And doing that fills up your what's called the resolve meter, which is these little icons at the bottom, and you'll gain more over time. But basically, that's like your healing potions. So like by pressing down. It's like an Estus wax almost, but you refill it by killing enemies and or attacking, landing hits on them. I'm trying to think of like what else. It's very pretty.
Oh, there's the standoff thing.
Oh yeah, you want to explain that one?
So basically, when you come up to like a group of enemies, a village or whatnot, you can like enter this stance where you challenge their first warrior to come at you, and then if you release it at the right time, you one hit kill that enemy.
Yeah,
it's like an act of intimidation or whatnot.
And as you progress, you can put skills into your standoff. You put technique points into your like a standoff skill, and you'll be able to kill extra people. Like with one hit. So like you'll do the standoff with the triangle button, and then like a second enemy will rush you, and by pressing square or triangle again, you'll one hit kill that one. And like you can keep building up on that like to two or three, I think. So you can kill multiple people in a standoff. And they all look really cool. there's like mini boss fights where you have what are called duels. So it's like the standoff is this thing, like as Tony said, where you're fighting a group of enemies. Duels though are like you're in kind of like a standoff situation, but fighting a more serious samurai or some sort of protector, and they have a health meter at the top, and it's more than just your normal everyday fight. Normally they're associated around some like mythic quests or something. Right now the story seems like it's almost very go and like collect like people to help you. Like you're going and finding like other samurai or Ronin to kind of so you can go rescue your uncle. It's like there's nothing like super original about the story, but it seems fun. No interest, Jeff, Earl?
I mean, possibly. When it's cheaper, I guess, maybe.
I could see that. I think it's very good. I'll be interested to see what Tony has to say once he's played more of it. It does feel a little dated, just in its design. I don't think that's bad. I'm actually kind of happy it's not. Oh, like Assassin's Creed has moved to like the Witcher kind of style of like, oh, it's like an RPG now. This has you doing missions, and as you do missions, you're gaining renown points or whatever, which then give you points to put into a special skill. So it feels very like Assassin's Creed 1 and Assassin's Creed 2 to me in the way that the game is played. And the other thing is very early on, it becomes a stealth game. Not like that you can't kill things and fight things, but like one of the early maybe kind of tutorial missions is this thief kind of teaching you how to assassinate people, and Jin does not want to do that because that kind of goes against the code of the samurai. But you'll spend most of the rest of the game, at least the next 7 hours that I played of it, like. Where that's kind of his primary frontal tactic, because you can't just walk into a fort and be like, I challenge all of you. You get your ass kicked. So you have to like use these more ninja-y tactics. And he's always apologizing for it. It's like, I'm sorry, uncle, that I'm breaking my honor vow, but I have to do this to save you. So that's where I think it might take itself a little too seriously. You don't need to comment on that shit all the time. It's fun. It's good looking. We'll see where it goes. I'm hoping it's not a 30-hour game. I don't know what the time frame on it is, though. But as I said, I'm about 7 hours in, just about done Act 1, so we'll see. Tony, you play anything else?
I played Imperator, but I'm actually going to save that for until next week because okay. I want to play more.
Last thing, real quick, as Earl mentioned when we were talking about the Xbox showcase, I've gone back playing some Gears 5. They just, it's a new operation season, whatever you want to call it. They've made a bunch of changes in the game, but they've introduced this mode called Horde Frenzy. It is 12 rounds. So it's not 50 rounds long. It's only 12. And every 4 rounds is a boss battle. So it's like a speed horde. It's kind of fun. It's what I've seen is like, it's less about building. Although you can certainly still kind of put your skills into the power points into like buying turrets and stuff, but you don't need to build like this gigantic base because it's more of a fast mode of horde. And I found that like investing in your character yourself kind of helps out a bunch, like where you spend the power on like the four skills that you have. It's a ton of fun. You guys should play it.
Warhood, I'm up for that.
I know Jeff just said he didn't. You say you just deleted it off your hard drive? Jeff is muted.
Damn,
yeah.
Jeff.
Sorry, I was just talking, buddy. Yeah, I had deleted it like probably the night before you told us about it.
Oh, that sucks. Because yeah.
Well,
it is.
Reinstall it. Get in there now.
It is a huge
I was
download.
Making space for. I was making. Well, I was about to download Far Cry, and I noticed I was like low on space, so I just like, was just cleaning up
yeah,
my hard drive to begin with.
You haven't played it in a while.
That was one of the ones.
It's
that's a big
huge.
File.
It's
that's
a, like it's a, I think it's over 100 gigs now. It's ridiculous, but they keep adding maps.
Seriously. I seriously considered deleting the Halo collection too, because that's like just a huge drain.
What, 120 gigs
for a game
too much
like
for you?
We're yeah. not playing it.
I mean, for something I played Reach, like the campaign. That's it. Like anyway, I fucked around in the multiplayer for like a minute. You know, like I figure once Halo Infinite comes out, I'll just be playing that. So I'm like,
Yeah, I think Master Chief Collection is great if you want to go through those campaigns.
It's amazing all around, but it's just, you know, it's a huge file.
It is. Even like on the X, like it takes up 10% of your hard drive space. So like that and Gears 5 are ridiculously large. And then if you have, the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare? Like I think that's up to like 150 gigs.
I deleted that too because it kept. It's like, here's a 70 gig upgrade.
We end every single time. It like re-downloads the entire fucking game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they've done a lot of good with Gears 5. And it's like there's like a new currency they've added. It's these coins. I actually have enough now. I can buy all the character skins. Which they were selling in the store. Like nothing is sold for real money anymore, I guess. So it's like they've done a lot of like nice upgrades to that game, which I had already thought was pretty good. So, but yeah, should play some of that, or I guess we could play Grounded since that comes out next week.
I didn't even realize that was like a multiplayer game.
Yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
But you know what we are playing next week?
What's that?
Grounded.
Well, yes. But also, the one thing we hadn't mentioned, as part of the Xbox Game Showcase, they are doing a bunch of limited demos for, I think, dozens of games right now that expires on the 23rd. No, not the 23rd. That is today. The 27th, which is Monday. So yes. We're going to try to pick out a few and kind of play through them. Because I, as much as I've hated this whole E3 ass in 6 years now, this whole bringing demos home stuff has been something that, you know, I think a lot of people have pushed for recently. And this is just another example of that. And, you know, making it, I don't know how it works. I don't know if the demos stop working on Monday or if you have Oyentoden to deal with them. But, you know, I will pick out a few and, you know, sample them next week. I think we all are. Or at least that's what I'm telling you folks.
Well, I have definitely downloaded some of them already. I think I put three on my hard drive. I am going to try out Skate Bird, which is a bird skateboarding game.
Ooh. Yay.
Looks interesting. Like it's you play as a bird, obviously, on a skateboard. But the world is, it's like all like real world stuff. So like, you know, cardboard and staplers and straws and stuff. So like that's how the skate parks are designed. It looks really stupid, but also kind of fun. I also downloaded The Veil, Shadow of the Crown, which is a it's like an action adventure game, a 3D medieval combat type game. And I think the last one I downloaded is something called Raji, which is it's like an action adventure platform, like a 3D platformer that also has. It reminded me a lot of Prince of Persia, but with maybe Diablo type combat. So like there are platforming sections that reminded me of Prince of Persia, and then the combat looks very Diablo-ish. So I'm going to have those three at the very least. And maybe Breakpoint. Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
Oh, I should install that. Considering how you know I have it now.
So we should have waited the weekend and we could have got
I know. If I'd have spent like the 3 days waiting, I'd have, you know, $3 more than I have now.
Right. Granted, it was only $3. So. Anything else? I mean, besides our demos, and also Hall of Fame next week. So all of us will bring our Hall of Fame entries. So don't forget about that, Jeff.
I don't think you probably did not come with this. Do you know what games are already in there? So
where's that the we know not to list.
So give me 1 second. I actually have I have the last five. I just saw that in my notebook. Give me 1 second.
Were there rules to this? I think it was just like we could nominate whatever we want, right?
Yes, we're back in a new year. So you can go back to any of the franchises. Let's see. So the listener pick was Super Metroid. For the last time, Contra was
Jeff's pick.
Street Fighter 2 Turbo was Earl's pick. StarCraft was Tony's pick. And Ms. Pac-Man was mine. Jungle Hunt was mine from the first set.
Should be disqualified.
I think they're... Super Mario Brothers 3, I think, was Tony's pick.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought there was another. Maybe it was two Zelda games. I think it was a. I think Jeff
I chose The Legend of Zelda. That was my first pick.
Because I think the rule was we couldn't have more than one game from a franchise going at the same time.
That's possible. I mean that definitely is. That's why we definitely set it up so we couldn't.
Yeah.
That franchise go again. I thought it was two Zelda games though the first time.
No, it was. I think I had Tetris.
You had Tetris.
Yes. Yeah. There was one. What was the
Jeff fan had story? A game we'd never heard of.
No, I had the game we'd never heard of.
I chose The Legend of Zelda in the first one. Like that.
We'll find out what the listener choice was because
I don't know. Did we have a listener choice the first time?
We did. And I think that's why I think it was either a Mario or Zelda game.
I think it was Ocarina of Time then.
Yes, that is it. I will double check on that, but yeah, you can bring any of the franchises.
Bring it all back. All right.
I think you could bring any franchise in the first go, but not the second go.
Yes.
I think. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, if you end up picking like, you know, Halo 3 this time or whatever, you can't do Halo C for our December picks.
You have to think about all of this.
I mean, you're wide open for this choice.
Yeah.
You can pick any game that is... I think we had decided... Go ahead, Jeff.
I feel my first two choices were so perfect. Legend of Zelda and Contra. Now it's like, I gotta open it up. I gotta go a little wild. I gotta do something a little different.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
I think we had, I don't think we were allowing 360 games just yet.
Okay, well,
I mean, it's an N64 game.
No. I'm just saying, I don't think that I think we're two generations back. So,
okay.
Once these
new systems launch, so
PS2 era and earlier, we could do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Up. When did the 360? Until, like 2005. Like 2005. Yeah. 2006 is the cutoff.
It's so weird to think about that. That is 15 years ago, and we had two generations.
Yeah. It's nuts. But yes, think up your choice, and we'll get a listener choice as well, and we'll go from there.
I'm excited. I got some homework.
Yeah, demos and...
Battle Tanks represent! Sorry.
If you really want to. But we'll be back next week to talk about all those Xbox game demos. Game of the Year, Hall of Fame, and maybe some more Ghost of Tsushima or Paper Mario. So,
and let's hope, fingers crossed, that nobody has any more E3-like presentations next week. I am tapped out. I get that, but I'm also like, I'm good if they don't do anything next week. I just kind of want a week where there's no news. I never thought I'd say that about video games.
I think Sony is rumored to be the week after, like that they're having.
Yeah, I think they're August. And then like, and it's also weird. I mean, this.
No.
Also weird when Earl disappears.
I think we lost Earl.
Good night.